if you would, please go with me to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you so very much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you so very much for what transpired yesterday on our radio program, Lord. We pray that you are glorified with all that was said and done. We thank you for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that today as we approach this text, that you'll illuminate this text, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll be able to see it better, understand it better, and walk in the light. These things we thank you for and we praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And while you do that, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of what we're doing here. Since we've started this program, since we started Listen for the Joy on yesterday's inaugural program, we're going to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks dealing with this issue of the Jews' position in God's kingdom before and present and what he has in store for them. And always keep in mind that when I'm talking to you about this, as the Jews go, so goes the world. They are God's barometer, y'all. And as you study world history, you'll learn even that much more about them because God says they're my chosen. And listen, and this one thing that I really want you to get fixed in your mind, that's the one people group, because since the beginning of history, a whole lot of cultures have come and gone. Amen? That's the one people group and the only people group that God says, when I come back, they will be here. And understand, the devil said they won't. That's why we have spiritual warfare 24/7. And that's why we have to get equipped and learn this word. Okay, Romans 10, verses 1 through 13. In the King James Bible, it reads this way. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things, those things, shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen and amen and amen. Today we're going to talk about it is really finished. And it's finished by faith. It is really finished, and it's finished by faith. Now that's important because a lot of people, that causes a lot of confusion, y'all, because listen, one of the reasons there's so many different denominations, there's so many different faiths, skip denominations, just go to different belief systems. There's so many. And people are saying, well, what makes you believe that yours is the right one and this, that, and the other? And we as Christians, at some point in time, you have to be sold out and totally bought into it is really finished, and it's finished by faith in Jesus Christ, period. that's a non-discussional, a non-compromising position. But yet and still you have people who want to talk about ecumenism and pluralism, and where we say that all religions carry the same weight. You know, everybody's belief is wonderful as long as you're sincere. That is contrary to Scripture. It is absolutely contrary to Scripture. And so that's why we have to dig a little bit deep into these things and read these passages and understand these passages, that the work of salvation, there's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way. There's only one man. There's only one faith. That's it. And if you love somebody, you'll stop tiptoeing around the gospel and tell them that's it. So now let's, how do we get you to this point instead of saying, well, Hinduism, well, you know, it's got have several billion people. They might have a point since they're so sincere. It's contrary to Scripture, y'all. And if you really want to know, go to the cross. Look at the cross. Whenever you're talking to anybody from any other faith, any other religion, or even some of the false so-called Christian doctrines, go, start with the cross. If there's another way, then I assure you, there's no reason for Jesus to go to the cross. Amen. Let's be logical. Or did he come up out the grave and say, oh, man, I didn't have to do that. I went through all that. And there's another way. So if the Christians don't understand there's no other way, it's just like this Listen for the Joy. What we are purposing in our heart on this radio program is, even with serious subjects like this, we have got to be able to convey the joy of salvation, y'all. See, because you can't sell what you don't have. And if you don't have the joy of salvation, please don't try to give it to some. If you walk around, your lip on the ground, you're moaning, you're groaning, oh, this is such a horrible, hard life. I'm struggling and straining. Please don't tell anybody about the radio program. Amen. Okay. So, it really is finished. And it's finished by faith. Paul here in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, he takes up the issue because, don't forget, in this book he's talking to Jew and Gentile. And there's at one point, we'll get to it probably in the next couple weeks, where he kind of narrows it down to Gentile only. But remember, understand this, when he's talking about these things and he's referencing Old Testament, Old Covenant scriptures, understand the Gentiles, they're just now getting this. They're not, some of them are still saying, Moses? Noah? So understand that when he's referencing these Old Testament scriptures, primarily he's trying to get to his Jewish brethren and get them to understand it's finished. The work, Christ has done the work. And we're going to talk about Paul's prayer for his brethren. We're going to talk about why so much of the church and the world is in flux. We're going to talk about the righteousness of faith, what it is, the righteousness of faith, how do you attain it, and the righteousness of faith, what is the evidence, okay? And then we'll just work our way down through this. Paul's prayer for his brethren, verses 1 and 2. Paul is pouring out his heart. Don't forget, Paul says, I was born a Jew, Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul says, I'm a Jew, even though I'm a Christian, or one of, back then they referred to as one of the way. He goes, even though that's what I am, I never lost being a Jew. And that's one of the hang-ups today that a lot of people, when you witness to a Jewish person, which I've had the privilege of doing, they think, well, are you telling me I can no longer be a Jew? Well, you're Jewish because that's your bloodline. You are a tribe of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's your bloodline. So that doesn't change. But your position in God's word, in God's kingdom, you come to fruition as a Jew. Paul's prayer to his brethren according to the flesh. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, when you see that statement lets you know not everybody's going to be saved. But do we stop trying to give people the gospel because not everybody's going to believe it? Do you stop talking to your neighbors and your friends and especially your own family? Do you stop telling them about Jesus because many of them don't want to hear it? No. And Paul's saying, I want my brethren to be saved. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He goes, look, they're trying to keep the law. They're trying to keep the ordinances. We know about the Ten Commandments, okay? They had over 600 commandments that the rabbis and the people had added on top to be a hedge so you really don't mess up bad. So and that's that zeal. When we went to Israel in April and you see them and they're dressed, you know, when you see the Hasidim, they're dressed, you know that these are men who, they love God. They love God. And Paul says they got a zeal for God. You go over to Israel and you get on the wrong elevator on Friday, no matter how tall the building, it stops on every floor. Because as a observant Jew, you are not allowed to cause a spark. And when you push the button to turn on the light on the elevator, you cause a spark. So therefore, they keep you from having to do that by making the elevator stop on. Please don't be in a hurry. It stops on every floor. They have a zeal for God. But Paul is saying it's not according to knowledge. Many folks in our own families, I got to go to church on the Sabbath. You know, the Bible says remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Yes, the Bible does say remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But in Colossians, the Bible also tells you that all the holy days and the Sabbath and all those special days were a shadow of the one true reason, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Covenant pointed to Jesus Christ. He is the end of all this. And he says, they have this zeal, but the truth has eluded them. And in verses 3 through 5, I'm going to give you a little illustration here where I talk about, if you want to know why our nation is in chaos, if you want to know why the world is in chaos, if you want to know how the church in specific is in chaos, in flux, here it's because of this. For the same reason that the Jews are missing it. For verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And I'm going to stop right there. He's the end of the law for everyone that believeth. And he says, everybody, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the people with the Christian cults, everybody has decided that they would establish what is righteous. And so if you read the book of Judges, it will convict you of the fact of even when God's people in the book of Judges, when every man decides to do that which is right in his own mind, it doesn't work. It may work for a little bit, but it doesn't work. I'm going to give you an illustration here. I've been observing this whole women's rights thing for quite a while. I mean, this women's rights thing, you get an element of truth, something that needs to be dealt with. And now because there's no standard, every week, every day, somebody comes up with a new standard. It's so hard to watch the trailers for the new movies. It's so hard to watch a sporting event where I see a woman who's never played one down of football and she's directing the men on how to talk. When you go and you watch the movie trailer and you see all these tough, 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 super tough women beating these men up. First off, why is there a Me Too movement if all these women are beating up the men? Will somebody please help me with that, y'all? Think about that. I know you don't want to hear that, but think about it. It's a lie. Got the women heading up everything. This. And they're so tough, and they're so tough. And we don't need a man. We can do this without a man. And then... We try to turn our boys into girls. And we're getting We're flip-flopping everything because we're doing that which is right in our own mind. But with the women, with this whole thing with the women, have you ever thought about this? After you teach the girls to be so tough, so independent, what happens when the ship is going down? What happens to that women and children first? You better get out my way. Every man for himself. But no, you want it both ways. You want to say you're tough. You want to say you don't need a man. You want to say I'm independent. But then when the ship's going down, hey, you're supposed to let women and children in first. But see, if you start with God's righteousness, you'll understand what the headship of the man is, what the responsibility of the man is, what the accountability of the man is. We have allowed our own righteousness to skew God's entire program. Men are not better than women, but we have a different accountability. When Adam and Eve sinned first. You can't deny it. It's right there. When God came on the scene, God said, Adam, where are you? And what did Adam do? What every good man does. It's that woman. It's her fault. We cannot go by our own righteousness. That's why when you say, Lord, the moment you say, Lord, it, love, you know, because so many people say, well, love rules everything. Love is love. And love is such a wonderful word. Love is such a beautiful word. But once you attach Lord to it, then love is no longer subjective. Love is objective. And God tells us what is love. As long as you define it according to your own righteousness, love can be anything. Love could be everything. But once God gets his definition, his objective truth in there, he says, I am love. And God is love, and God is holy, and God is righteous. He is an objective truth. The Jewish community, wonderful people, work hard. They keep the laws, they keep the Passover, they keep the feast. But Paul right here is saying to him, the job is already done. Your righteousness counts for nothing. Your righteousness. He says, Jesus is the end of the law. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What does that mean? That means when Jesus said on the cross in John 19:30, when he said, it is finished. Church, understand, that's good news. That's good news. Because if you don't accept that, then you always go about trying to set up your own righteousness. And the Bible tells us categorically, even under the old covenant, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, connect these dots. When God gave him the Ten Commandments, what did he say to him? Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a sacrificial system because you can't keep the Ten Commandments. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some grace and some mercy. And if you'll just present me with this lamb, then I'll preserve you because I require holiness. And you're not holy. So here's a substitute for your unrighteousness. And then God says, now look at that picture. And guess what? When you get to the new covenant, he gives us a sacrifice. Look at the picture. He goes, you can't do what is required to please me. I'll send my only begotten son. That's the picture. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It's finished, y'all. And it's finished by faith. Let's go down here through verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If you have friends, if you have relatives who are hung up on Sabbath day worship, the Bible says don't argue about it for one thing. He says if that person is convinced that they want to worship on the Sabbath, or the other person wants to worship on Sunday, or the other person wants to worship on Wednesday, he goes, don't argue with them about it, just because it's all a shadow. It's all a typology. And he goes, but understand, if you try to live by the law, if you try to live by the Ten Commandments, he tells you right here, in verse 5, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And understand, my brothers and sisters, there is no provision for life in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, there's only provision for death. If you don't do this, you're going to die. There's no provision for life. And he says, so if you're trying to keep the commandments, understand the Bible says, if you break one, you broke them all. We cannot live by the Ten Commandments. So how do I please God? How do I, when Jesus said it is finished, how do I know it's finished by faith? How do I don't have a lamb to take to the temple. There, no Jewish person can take any sacrifice to the temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So how do I please God when I reject Jesus Christ? How do I please him? You can't. So that's why we continue to preach the good news. That's why we continue to tell people, you're trying to work your way into heaven, and you can't. But if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, if you'll call out, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he says, you shall be saved. That's our message to people, y'all. That's the good news to folks, y'all. But they're trying, but what do I do? What can't I do something that's going to get me some credit? I want to stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing this. I want to get some credit. We don't get credit, but what we do get is the opportunity to give praise. When you don't do this anymore, thank you, Jesus. When you don't do that anymore, thank you, Jesus. Because otherwise, you'll be thinking that it's of yourself. And I've done something, and what does he say in Ephesians 2, 8, 9? He goes, then when you get to heaven, you're going to want to boast. You want to get up in heaven and talk about, yes, I stopped doing this, and yes, I used to be that. That's what all these works-based religions are about. That's what the Jewish community is about right now today. And that's why we have the opportunity, and that's why we have the calling to let them know it's finished. It's really, really finished, and it's finished by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. These scriptures are almost a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14. He goes, because the Jews, even back then, they're trying to, how do we get right with God? How do we get right with God? What do we do? You know, who's gonna bring him down? Who's gonna bring him up? How do we do this? And the answer is, we don't do this. The answer is, God does this. God presents the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. We don't do it. We can't do it. And he says, but what saith thee? What saith it? Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's nigh me? You mean to tell me that my salvation, not only my salvation, but the salvation of everybody I know, everybody who's trying to go run off someplace on the Sabbath, everybody who's trying to do some extra special good work, do you mean to tell me that my salvation is determined right here in my heart with my tongue? But isn't there something, God, that I can do? Isn't there something, God, that I can do to prove to you, to show you how good, how worthy, and what can I do? And God says to us in Scripture, He says, the best you can do on your own is as a filthy rag. He said, don't bring me anything that you have touched and asked me to accept it as holy. He says, here's where it is. Here's where the faith is found. The faith is found in your mouth. People walking around trying to find some kind of deep, deep thing that will make them, that will make God accept them. And God says, understand. What did he say to Moses? Moses said, I can't really talk good when he's talking to the burning bush. He says, who made your mouth? What did he tell Jeremiah? He said, you feel fearfully and wonderfully made. God said, it's the stuff that I made. That's what I consider a proper sacrifice. He said, it's in your lips, it's on your lips, and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Everything that you and I need, everything that you and I need, help me, Lord, to please God is already contained in you. Children, adults, middle age, everything that you need to be saved, to be assured a seat in the kingdom of God, to be assured a place in heaven, everything that you need is contained in the body that God put together. It's in you. That's good news, because people, y'all don't understand. People go on these, what do they call them, pilgrimages. I got to go over to India, and I got to squat and hum and see if I can please God. Because it's in you. Don't go out the room. Sit right where you're at right now. It's in you. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. It's in you. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. You don't have to go out. And, man, that stuff sells so well. That nonsense sells so well. Send me some money and I'll send you something holy that'll save you. It sells so well. It's in you. It's in you. The word is nigh thee. He said in verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be Isn't that what this is all about, y'all? Isn't that what the cross is all about? God so loved you. God so loved me. God so loved the Jews. God so loved the Muslims. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Stop trying to impress God with what you're doing and be impressed with what he's done. He said, I sent my son. What do you want? I sent my son for you. And now I'm saying to you, all you have to do is confess it. It's right there. It's nigh thee. Open up your mouth and confess it. And he tells you in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why is it so essential that we have a public profession of faith? Why is that so essential? Because the devil believes and he trembles, but he won't profess Christ as Lord. At least not right now, but the Bible says there's going to come a day when every knee and every tongue. But right now, he even knows that this is the truth. There are many people who know this is the truth, and for one reason or another, they just can't bring themselves to put it out there. But understand, the Bible says it's nigh thee. It's within your power. It's within your ability. It's within your capability to believe it and to openly confess it. The scripture in Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. It talks about the power of the tongue. Let's go there. Proverbs 18:21. And it reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, church, listen real good. When he says in verse 10, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The tongue is that little piece of flesh that James tell you is like a fire. That tongue, that is the difference between eternal life and eternal condemnation, y'all. He says, because with the tongue, without the tongue, that's what is made unto salvation. That's why it's so important that not only do you believe it, because so many people believe it. I mean, this, well, you know, I'm pretty sure that Jesus, but will you confess it? Because the Bible says if you don't confess it, you are not saved. And people get comfortable with saying, I'm a nice person, I do good things, and I believe in God. I believe in God. But do you believe that Christ is the Son of God, the one true and living Messiah? And the Bible says if you don't believe that, there is no wiggle room. There is no middle ground. He goes, that and that alone, that's what lets you know. Because Christ is the end of the law. So that's why you know it is really finished. And it's finished by faith in Jesus Christ. And that tongue, ooh, that marvelous tongue. He said, it's got the power. You have the power of life and death. And you, people, when someone says, well, a loving God wouldn't send people to hell, he's not. Every man, every woman, every person has the power of life and death in his own mouth. He chooses to be separated from God. Or he chooses to be with God, because God has clearly said, I'm not turning away anybody. He goes, I will in no wise turn away anybody. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we impugn the integrity of God by saying, you sent people to hell? I did not. I sent my son so that nobody, I mean nobody, would have to go to hell. I did it. And I did it just for you. Pass on that good news, y'all. Pass it on to folks. You don't have to get into a deep theological discussion about anything. Just let them know. In your mouth and in your heart, you can keep arguing with God. You can keep giving me all the reasons of why you got to do this and you got to do that, and how this religion is so wonderful. And you can talk all that stuff till you're blue in the face. Okay? Talk about it. But when it's all said and done, you are going to have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Verse 11. We talked about Paul's prayer for his brethren. We talked about why is this world in such flux? This world is in such flux because every man is doing that which is right in his own mind. It's not deep, y'all. See, because God has a standard. His standard is found right here. It's right here. It's in these 66 books. He said, don't add to it. And don't take away from it. It's here. And so if we start with the Bible and stay with the Bible, we'll come away saying, you know what? Man, God's plan of salvation. I mean, how could anybody miss heaven? How could anybody miss heaven except that they said, I don't need it? He says, the righteousness of faith. What is it? What is the righteousness of faith? The righteousness of faith, how do I attain it? We know that the righteousness of faith is the belief in Jesus Christ. The way that we attain it is that if we shall confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I gotta believe it, y'all. I wasn't there. But he has given me many proofs. He's given me many, many evidences. When I talk to young people today, when they tell me, we don't, you know, Jesus is somebody from the past. We don't really listen and pay attention to that kind of Jesus stuff. And I said, wait a minute, what year is this? And I say, it's 2019. And I said, well, 2019, what? They said, it's A.D. And I said, that's the year of our Lord, isn't it? I said, this is a man who all of history is based on his life, and you don't even know who he is. And you call yourself educated, very educated in some cases. Church, God has given you proofs. He has shown you. You tell folks about him. Tell him about the goodness in your life and let them see the joy, because we all have problems. He goes, there's nothing going on in your life that's not uncommon to men. We got marriage, we got divorce, we got death. I was talking to a man the other day. I think I shared this on Night Watch. I was talking to a man at the restaurant, and we both had to wait on our food, and we're just sitting there. Start talking to him about the Lord, bring up the topic of the Lord. And I can honestly tell you, I wasn't ready for what he said. The Lord used him to even help me a little bit better. I wasn't ready for what he said. I said, you know, how you doing today, man? You know, he said, first he started off smiling. He said, everything's okay. And so then when I invited him to the church, I gave him a bookmark, and we're talking. And then he said, you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, I got three kids. So my wife passed 5 years ago. And then tears start streaming down his eyes. And he goes, I'm a Christian. He said, I was raised a Christian. I go to church. He said, but it still hurts so bad. He said, It's been 5 years. And y'all, I know I didn't handle it as well as I should. You know, I'm trying to give him some words of encouragement. But it was after my conversation with him, and I hope this will help somebody else. Again, he's saved. He's a believer. But he's 5 years, and he's got a 14-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 25, and he's just tears coming down his eyes. Next time, I think I know what I'll do better. Maybe I just hold him. Maybe I just hold him. Just shut up and hold him. You know, that goes a long way, y'all. It goes a long way. And Lord used that. He used that to help me. People are lost. People are hurting. And you know the truth. It's in your heart and it's in your lips. And you should be able to convey that to them. Let them know there's no great searching out here for in the great unknown. Stop adding confusion. Let them know. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you shall be. It's the end of your search. It's the end of your pilgrimage. Because Jesus is the end of all righteousness of the law. He's the end. It's finished. And it's really finished. And it's finished by faith. So last thing. After you've made this profession of faith, and you say that you believe, you say that you belong to God, after you make this, how do I know? Is there any evidence? Is there any evidence that should be there to let the world know that something has changed in my life? Something has really changed in my life. Y'all ever seen anybody who had one of those big winning lottery tickets? Man, when most people get those big winning lottery tickets, first thing to go is that old hoopty car. Boom, kick it to the curb. It's gone. Then that house would suffice them for so many years, that nice 2,000 square foot or whatever. Nah, it's too small. It's too small. I need about a 6,000 square foot house. Well, Bob, what happened? What changed? I won the lottery! Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. But what about when you get saved? Do you go into the witness protection program? People say, man, you look a little different. Well, oh, yeah, I've been exercising. Can't you just tell them God has done something wonderful in my life? And I'm not talking about for when you just get saved. Because getting saved is one thing, but y'all understand, there's those levels of maturity where at some point, all of a sudden you read something about, wow, man, I've read that 100 times, and it never hit me like that. There should be
some evidence. You know what the Bible says is the evidence? Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That means you'll stand up in the middle of a Muslim crowd and tell them about Jesus. You'll stand up with a Jewish crowd. You'll tell them about Jesus. And the hardest thing is on Thanksgiving Day, you'll stand up with your family and tell them about Jesus. I am not ashamed. What did Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, unto all men, unto the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's why people don't talk to Jewish people. That's why people don't talk to their family members. That's why they don't talk to anybody, because they're scared. And God says, don't be ashamed. Because he says, if you're ashamed of me, y'all know the rest of that scripture, don't you? Amen. He says, you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Now, I haven't thought that one through completely. I say, because I know you can't lose your salvation. I know that according to Scripture, you can't lose your salvation. So if, when he says he's going to be ashamed of me, maybe he just means he'll say, yeah, he's here. Okay, he let me on into heaven. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I do know, he says that when you know him, and you know the joy of salvation, you need to open your mouth. You need to tell somebody. You need to tell everybody about Jesus. Amen? And then on verse 12, 13, he says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't get mixed up here. This is another one of those verses where false teachers come in and they try to say, look, for there's no difference, verse 12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all. And they tell you there's no difference between male, female. He's talking as far as your salvation experience. Jews have to be saved by the same God. Gentiles have to be saved by the same God. There is no difference. And we always want to put a caveat in there, well, this group of people have to do a little something this way. And no, for every people group, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. It's there. You don't have to go outside of that. You got to believe it in your heart, and you have to confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he says in verse 13, last thing, verse 13, this is why we call it listen for the joy. This is one of the many reasons, listen for the joy. What group, what club? I know some of y'all is alpha, salpha, phi, psi, whatever. I know you are. And I know you wear those colors proudly. In fact, I know you ain't ashamed of those because you got them on your license plate. You ain't ashamed of that stuff. Okay? So when I'm trying to get you to serve Christ, don't be talking about you getting carried away there, preacher. No, you know, y'all got your little blue t-shirts, pink t-shirts, horseshoes, and everything. And I'm okay with that because but can you give God some of that? Can you love him as much as you love that fraternity? Can you love him as much as you love that sorority? Can you? I mean, after all, when that sorority is long gone, when that fraternity is long gone, and you're standing there before the throne of God, who's going to take you in? Jesus. He's made that promise to you. He says, look at this. Look at his membership. This is the most inclusive, exclusive club there is. Entry into heaven first requires that you acknowledge you ain't no good. That's a modern day translation. You got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Amen? Amen? Okay. So don't get all holy on me. Okay? In order to get into the club, you have to say, I got issues. So when people point at you at the church and they say, you know, you guys got issues in the church. Amen. First, you got to admit you have issues. And he says, and he lets you know all throughout Scripture, to get into his heaven, to get into God's heaven, none but the righteous. That's why Paul says in the top of this Scripture, he goes,
the Jews and everybody else are going about trying to establish their own righteousness, because everybody knows within himself, you have to be righteous to get into heaven. Everybody knows that, y'all. The club says, none but the righteous. First, you got to admit you're a sinner. Then he says, none but the righteous. And look what he turns around and says is the requirement for getting into this exclusive, inclusive club. Whosoever. That's good news, y'all. But what if you're Muslim? Whosoever. What if you're a Hindu? Whosoever. What if you were born so rich that you never needed anybody or anything on this earth? Whosoever. What if you were born in this life where you were so poor? Life was so bad. Life was so ruthless. You even thought about ending it prematurely. God says, don't stop. He says, stop right there. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Y'all, that's good news. He doesn't say whosoever make the pilgrimage. He doesn't say whosoever fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't say whosoever flogs himself. He doesn't say whosoever stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing it. He says whosoever, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Not maybe. Not let me think about it. Shall be saved. Church, let the world know. Jesus on the cross said, it's finished. You let the world know. It really is finished, and it's finished by faith. God bless you.